Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's me, Tommy Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio with coverage tonight. And folks, it's been a great day for me. First of all, I got 8 hours of sleep. That's number one. Had some nice breakfast. I had a good day. I even had a Slurpee power drink today. Okay? So, and 44 ounces, too. So I'm definitely doing good. I got that pump going on. And there's a lot of things that have been going on in sports that we had the opportunity to bring to you, obviously, each and every week here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Cuervo is supposed to be giving us a call here at, you know, hopefully any minute. He said he'd be maybe a couple minutes late. So I decided I was going to start the show on something that was not NFL related, but it's football related, but not NFL. And folks, I want to tell you, you're on the Couch Potato Sports Show, and my wife, as lovely as she is, heard that I was going to do lingerie football play-by-play, and she didn't like it, folks. She gave me that dirty look that she's giving me right now with her mouth open. That flies could fly right on in. Okay, that's the look, but Sonny did it anyway. And this was a couple years ago. Now, I had the opportunity, folks, to meet Jen Welter with the Texas Revolution. You know the Couch Potato Sports Show is the home of play-by-play of the Texas Revolution, if you know anything about this show. So I had the opportunity to talk to Jen Welter on several occasions for, you know, time and time, you know, hours of talking with Jen Welter, whether it be at the home field or on the road when we traveled with the Texas Revolution last year on a couple games. And she made me change my opinion. And that opinion that I had about it, as I was okay with the now called Legends Football League, formerly the Lingerie Football League, I had no problem with it. As a matter of fact, I was actually... You looked at the game and you looked at what was selling the game, and that was obviously sex, okay? Let's just be honest. The crowds are filled with 80% men, okay? So they were doing exactly what it was. But I learned a lot about the Lingerie Football League, now the LFL Legends Football League. And I came across a site this week, guys, and actually I came across it 3 days ago. And after talking with Jen Welter, I think I'm appalled. Oxygen Network on cable TV is going to host a reality show called Pretty Tough. Or March, Pretty Strong. And it's going to be about the Lingerie Football League / Legends Football League. And after talking to Jen Welter about this specific issue, and she made me think, and she made me think by saying this. She says, Sonny, what do you think about the players that, you know, with the concussions and everything, you know, guys that have paved the way for the NFL to be what it is today? I said, well, what I think they're doing with the players is quite disgusting. Yes, they gave up their rights or whatever the case may be, but we're talking, like I've always said, it's a $15 billion industry in the NFL. And I think the fact that they are not taking care of the players that have been hurt, and they were the ones that paved the way for these crazy multi-million dollar contracts for football players to play a game, I think I'm disgusted. And then she made the point that made me feel about 2 inches small. Okay? She says, well, what do you think about the Lingerie Football League? I said, those girls play their hearts out. And they do, by the way. Once you get in there, the sex just kind of goes away from it because you realize how gifted and talented those girls are playing this game. And, folks, they would knock me out in a heartbeat. If I got tackled by one of those girls, I would not get back up. They'd break my back. That's how tough these chicks are. And she goes, well, you know they only wear the shoulder pads and a hockey helmet. And I said, yeah, that's what it is. So you said, well, why don't you correlate what's going on with women, compare it to the guys back in the 70s who wore full armor week in, week out for the NFL. Now, take a look at what the women are doing. They have no, really, if you think about it, there's no equipment. Shoulder pads are nothing. And they're hockey helmets. Now, folks, if you know anything about helmets, which I'm kind of an expert on, okay, SG helmets are the best helmets out there. The Texas Revolution had them, and they had one concussion this year. That's how much that the Texas Revolution believe in really, really protecting their players. And I'm glad they made that step to it. A hockey helmet doesn't even come close to what those guys are using out in the indoor football leagues, Champions Indoor Football League, and things like that. So if you put it the fact that these girls, and I made a post about it. I'm actually disgusted about this. You want to talk some crazy exploitation that's going on that the guy at the top of the Lingerie Football League is sitting right there taking advantage of. Folks, here's some stuff that you may or may not know about the Lingerie Football League. Those girls don't get paid. Let me repeat that. Those girls don't get paid. Hell, the Indoor Football League guys are making $200 a game, okay? Those girls don't get paid. Not only that, they have to have their own insurance. Now, folks, I don't know. Thinking about what's going on, the guys that paved the way for the NFL, fully padded, these guys are walking around right now, and they are lost. They're cloudy. Hell, I'm cloudy. Ask my wife. Sometimes I walk around here like I'm some kind of zombie. And I didn't take as many as hard hits as these ladies are. I'm telling you guys, this is a dangerous thing that is going on. I've changed my position on the Lingerie Football League, and you don't have to agree with me. And that's one thing you can say, Sonny, you've lost your mind. But really, if you are really in player safety, you look at what's going on with the Lingerie Football League, and you got to start asking yourself questions. If you're a fan of the NFL and fan of football, you got to go, this is absolutely nuts that those girls are out there playing that way that they are. And the Lingerie Football League doesn't protect them, doesn't pay them. The only thing they do is put them on a plane. They got to do that anyway. But they don't pay them. Now, I'm not an expert when it comes to that kind of stuff. But the selling point is crazy exploitation. I have changed my opinion on it. I was all for the Lingerie Football League because I knew those girls had talent. And if you go to YouTube, you can watch some of those games being played. You can see. And you can see how hard these girls are hitting. And I want to tell you right now, there's going to be some girls 10 to 15 years down the way that can't walk. They're not going to be able to know family members, you know, recognize family members. They are going to be a zombie. And all for the Lingerie Football League to make their money, and they don't even take care of the players. Never mind not even paying them. They make the players have their own insurance that the Lingerie Football League doesn't pay for. It's a pretty bad state of affairs that's going on over there. Now, I know some people are going to think I'm crazy and think that, you know, really, Sonny, you might be putting it out there. But I'm going to tell you, And if you like the Lingerie Football League because of the athleticism of those girls, I get it and I understand where you're coming from. But if you really care about player safety, you've got to take a look at what's going on with those girls week in, week out. And you've got to ask that question. Are they being protected? Are they safe?
Oh, you didn't know?
Go ahead and bring it in.
Your ass better call somebody.
That's right. Your ass better call Cuervo on a Wednesday afternoon. Glad to be up on air. And now, Cuervo, I don't know how much of the diatribe that you heard here because I just flipped over right when I lit and I seen that you were there. So I don't know how much that you're part of it. So let me know what you have heard and where we are, and I'll kind of direct you on. Or if you know exactly what I'm talking about, let me know. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, good afternoon to you, Sonny. I've been on hold for about 5 minutes now, so I've heard, you know, a little bit about what you were talking about. It started with when you were talking about how they don't get the lingerie football players, they don't get paid, and that they have to provide their own insurance.
Now, this is the part that you didn't hear, Cuervo. Let me throw this out to you. The Oxygen Network is coming out with a new show and a reality show. It's called Pretty Strong, and it's a reality show about the Lingerie Football League. So, and that's what kind of got me going. And you didn't hear the part that talking to Jen Welter and the guys that paved the way, they're fully padded and they can't even walk. Imagine what these girls are going to be like in 5-6 years after taking some. There's some right now that have taken a beating in the Lingerie Football League, and nothing's covered, and they can't even get anybody to help them. It's really kind of crazy. Never mind the exploitation of sex. That part's there, but it's the other thing. It's the other how they don't even take care of their own players. It's really how it's like they're chewing them up and throwing them away, and they don't even care what happened to them.
Yeah, and, you know, and I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this in a sexist way, right. But another thing too, you're talking about men that aren't able to walk. You're also talking about men that are, you know, 240 pounds of solid muscle, right?
Right.
And these guys aren't able to function on their own. So imagine a woman that's 150 pounds. I mean, how much damage do you think she's going to do to her that she could possibly do to her body? And again, it's nothing against women. It's just their frame smaller than men are. So how protected are they going to be? How bad a shape are they going to be in 20 years from now?
Exactly.
I mean, I can only imagine.
Jen Welter is the one that really put me onto this because, you know, I've had time to be with Jen Welter with her association with the Texas Revolution, being the first woman to be a coach for the Arizona Cardinals. And I've had literally hours with Jen Welter talking about football and this very subject, because really when we did the game, we did the Pacific Cup a couple of years ago, me and the scorekeeper. And we watched this game. We were amazed. I mean, these girls can play. They hit hard, and they're using helmets that they use in hockey. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's nowhere close to what a helmet for football is there for. And the main reason why they use a hockey helmet is so you can see their face. And that, you know, there's just so – I think I've gotten to the point, Cuervo, with all the things that we – I cannot be a hypocrite knowing about how I feel about the guys that paved the way for the NFL, knowing what they are going through right now, you know, knowing that these ladies are going to be – remember, this Lingerie Football League really just kind of came out of the woodwork at about 2014. We're about 11 years into this Lingerie Football / Legends Football League. And I think we are going to see some results from those injuries and everything else going to start rearing their ugly head. And maybe the Lingerie Football League may be out of business here soon.
Well, I mean, I'm sure a lot of the, and I don't know how they're formed or anything like that when it comes to like a players union. I don't know if they have that in the Lingerie Football League. But if they did, I'm sure they would be taking a lot of notes from the NFL as far as how to, you know, not settle for one, like the NFL did, but, you know, kind of just fight for the players, because that's what it's really all about, is the players.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's just sad how you let it just fall to the wayside. I mean, you're talking about women that, you know, they want to be, you know, be able to walk around and spend time with their grandkids one day or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I'm surprised they don't have a players union. You're saying they don't have a players union. That kind of surprises me a little bit.
And that's something that it seems to be a promotion that really just really lines the pocket of a few people in the top in this league. So, and that's one of the things that really I've become disgusted with. I almost wish, you know, that was, I'll be honest, guys, that was our biggest show ever. We have over 45,000 people listen to that game, the craziness of that game. And that, you know, so that right there tells you a lot about what's going on as far as what the interest is. Obviously, the ones that were listening could not see what was going on, so they were going by what we were calling. So we got to give those guys some credit for listening to what's going on. But at the same time, it's really kind of crazy what's going on in that league, and I just wonder where it's going to be in a few short years, because sooner or later there's going to be a major injury. There's going to be something that's going to happen out on the football field, Cuervo, and that will spell the end of that league, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's kind of sad, Sonny, where, again, we're talking about being reactive instead of being proactive. And I don't know how much has been done to try to initiate any type of, you know, insurance or anything for these ladies to be able to play the game just like the men do. But, you know, I've watched, and I know it doesn't compare to being at an actual game or broadcasting a game or, you know, calling a game like you and the scorekeeper did, but I've watched 3-minute YouTube clips, and that was enough. For people that think, oh, it's just a bunch of, you know, women that are just running around, and they're like, you know, touching each other, like, oh, tag, you're hit, like, you're tackled. Like, no, I mean, you're talking, if you've ever seen, you know, hits from guys like Ronnie Lott, okay, and I'm not exaggerating, and you know this.
No, I know.
Guys like Ronnie Lott that were considered one of the hardest hitters in the history of the game. I mean, you see girls that have that type of aggressiveness, that type of you know, even technique. I mean, these girls can tackle.
Yeah,
and they don't hold back one bit. I mean, they talk smack to each other, they hit hard.
Yep.
And then you got the girls that'll run you over, you know, just like a Jerome Bettis would back in the day.
Yep.
So it's really no different if you take away the fact that they're women in lingerie attire, and maybe some guys can't get past that part, but for those who can and they watch the game for the game, these girls, they don't play around. I was really impressed from what I watched. And again, there's a 3-minute YouTube clip. I was like, oh, I've seen enough. This is incredible.
Yes. And they're athletes. They're great athletes, and they play the game with passion. We've interviewed some of the girls as well. They want to play this game and play it the way that it is. But they need someone to go ahead and get that. And that's going to be interesting of where they lie later on. I want to see where they end up, and I'm really interested in seeing where that's going to be down the road. So I saw that this morning. I just thought that was something that I could start off the show with until I got you here, because really, the news has been nuts today, and I'm sure Cuervo knows. I'm sure he's been listening to ESPN and listening to the news and all kinds of stuff. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about the things that are coming out big in reality. Let's talk about the big story. The Jets are in so much trouble. I mean, they weren't in a great position to start with, Cuervo. I think you and I will probably agree with that. Just because of the quarterback position has already taken a hit, literally, and every sense of the way. Broken jaw coming. This is an amazing story. The fact that this thing happened in the locker room. And we can see football fights out on the field all day long and know what that's about. Really, we can. But man, this goes over that. This is a stretch. I'm going to tell you, I look at this and go, holy smoke, how did this even happen, Cuervo? I mean, more than the fact that, and I read the article, this was about a $600 plane ticket where the guy bought the ticket for Geno Smith to come to his football camp, and Geno Smith had a death in the family, couldn't make it. So evidently, Geno Smith wasn't getting off the $600 as fast enough, I guess, in this young man's opinion, and he cold clocked him. I think it's a bad thing to say sucker punch, because sucker punch is when you turn them around and you pop them. From all the things I'm getting from, these guys were standing face to face. I think the fact he just cold cocked him and he wasn't expecting it. So I guess I got to ask the question and where you stand on it, because I don't see this as a coaching problem. I see this as a personal problem and not a football problem. My question is, are we going to get the NFL getting involved with this? I mean, are the NFL going to overstep their bounds and get involved with this, you think, Cuervo?
No, Sonny, I don't think the NFL is going to get involved. I really think that, you know, the fact that they released that linebacker, you know, will be enough for the NFL to say, okay, you guys handled it. It's done with. You know, you, I mean,
right.
You separate the players or whatever, and it's done. There's really nothing else to do. There's really nothing else to say. In their eyes, I guess, the problem has been resolved.
Right.
You know, but I think what a lot of people may be missing is, you know, everybody wants to point the finger at this guy that you know, jacked him in the jaw. Now, to me, I don't know, maybe I'm just missing something, but him inviting Geno Smith to his football camp, okay, and this is between fifth and eighth graders is what I, from what I understood.
Right.
They had to either they really were good friends or they pretended, okay? So that's one. Number two, let's just say they were on good terms and whatnot. For him to be that upset over a $600 plane ticket, and even though he may make the minimum, he may be number 50 out of 53 on the roster.
Yep.
He still makes six-figure salary. Am I right? He still makes a six-figure salary.
Yep.
So $600 is what you find in your ashtray, Sonny. Okay. What I really honestly think happened was Geno Smith said something, and I don't know what it was, but he basically told this guy, get over it. I'll get your money when you get your money. He didn't like it, and that's what I think started it. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, it was brewing over time and whatnot. Over time can mean a lot of things. It could be a week. It could be a month. It could be a year, you know, but why would you invite somebody to your camp if you don't get along with them or you don't care for them? There's plenty of other quarterbacks you can invite if you wanted to invite a quarterback. Hell, Michael Vick was on your team last year. You could have invited Michael Vick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Probably would have been a much better, in my opinion, a much better choice anyways, because this is a guy that has made bad decisions in his life, and he could teach these kids to do the right thing, or he can send a message or whatever. But Geno had to have said, disrespected this guy in a way that you and I probably would have swung at Geno Smith as well. So for whatever reason, maybe it's to protect the image of their franchise quarterback, they're leaving those little details out. And I truly believe that could be, that is a more realistic scenario than just he got mad over $600 and decided to hit him. I don't believe that for 1 second, Sonny. And you know what? I may wind up being wrong, but I'm just thinking realistic here. Okay. You know, he had to, in my opinion, I think he said something that really upset this guy. Told him, get the F over it. You know, maybe he questioned his financial stability. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, he pissed him off over, hey, you'll get your money when you get it, in other words. And, you know, now you got jaw-dropping news coming right out of the NFL.
Literally.
Pun intended. Totally. 100% pun intended.
But here's, I find this interesting, and I get what you're saying, but I, just to kind of put it in perspective, okay, you're talking about a guy, his name, I can't pronounce it. The spelling is I-K, Ick, I don't know, however you say the guy's name, okay?
And that's how you say his first name from what I understand. It's I-K, and then
oh,
no, it's
got
the
it.
Letters. It's the letters, yeah. So however you say his last name, but his first name is the two letters that are in his name.
Got
that's
it.
How you
now,
say it.
Just to put it in a little perspective, just a little, we're talking about a guy, okay, that signed a 4-year deal and was earning $2.3 million a year. Okay, that's what you were getting, or that was over the term of the contract. It was a 4-year deal. It was worth $2.3 million. Okay, then he got a signing bonus of $78,000. This guy was not raking in the bucks. Okay, he made $420,000 in 2014, made $500,000 in 2015. So the guy made some money. Now, remember, he's only probably getting about a half out of that after the government gets their hands on it. Geno Smith, on the other hand, let me just throw this out to you. Geno Smith, all right, he signed a 4-year deal for a $5 million contract and a $2.3 signing bonus. Okay, so he got everything in the signing bonus, what this cat was making in the 4-year deal, never mind what he was getting on the regular basis. So we're talking about guys that were not making a lot of money. Let's just put that out there. Yeah, yeah. $500,000, that's a lot of bucks for you and I. But when you talk about after they take the tax hit, pay their agents and everything else, you're only looking about 50% in their pocket, if not a little bit less. So that being said, you know, this guy wasn't making hand over fist on here. And $600 probably means something to a guy like that if you look at the contracts the way they look. And let's be honest, we're talking about a young kid who's 24 years old, okay? So that being said, he's probably not very smart with his money either. So $600 probably is something to him. So, and I think you're right. I think Geno said, hey, listen, I'll get you your $600 when I freaking get around to it. If you don't like that, take a flying leap in my skinny ass. And that's probably what he said. And because those kind of things take place in a locker room. And the reason why, I've listened to it. I've been in there. But there's one thing that I'm really actually kind of shocked about, that this even happened. How these two are doing whatever they're doing before he got cold cocked. Where were the other players on this football team, Cuervo? That's my next question. When you look at this whole thing, Cuervo, where were everybody else in that locker room? I mean, this wasn't just something where they were just standing there and he popped them. There was some exchange going on. Where were everybody else?
Oh, well, I mean, they took a book out of Terrell Owens' page, or, you know, a page out of his book, and they were eating their popcorn. They got their popcorn ready, and they were watching the show.
I think that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, and you know what? I bet you, I guarantee you, if he wasn't going to do it, then somebody else would have.
Yep.
I promise you that.
Shows the maturity of this football team. I told you when Todd Bowles was hired for this job, this was the wrong team. He needed to go to Buffalo. And I wish he would have went to Buffalo because he would have had at least somewhat of some kind of maturity level. Rex Ryan, I'm sorry. He left that franchise in a complete disarray where no one even knew their place in the locker room, Cuervo, to step in and say, hey, that's enough of this crap. No, they let it go. The maturity level of this football team for this New York Jets has them in trouble before they even take the field for a preseason game. Are you there, Cuervo? Did I lose you?
No, I'm here, Sonny. It actually, I don't know if you continue to read this circus of a story, but, you know, you talking about Buffalo and Rex Ryan now, I don't know if you've heard the latest, but to put the cherry on top, so the Jets released this guy?
Yep.
And Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills have picked him up.
Yeah,
I mean, how ironic is that? Not funny or what? Isn't that great?
It just goes to show. You and I do that, Cuervo. We're in jail. Aggravated assault, baby. That's what's happening here. Okay? And Geno Smith, listen, Geno Smith is going to do it. He's going to have to complain about it. He's going to have to go to the cops if he wants this guy arrested. And if he doesn't, they're not going to pursue him. Simple as that. Okay, this is something that I think I heard someone say. There has to be a complaint come from somewhere. And if there's no complaint coming from Geno Smith, guess what? There's not going to be any fight. But if that's you and me, we're in jail right now. But no, this guy's picked up by the Buffalo Bills. And, another thing, it makes you kind of wonder. I say that Rex Ryan leads this team in disarray, and he does. But, man, he picked that guy up for a reason. Rex Ryan thinks this guy can play.
He can, Sonny. Just to let you know, I don't know if you've checked the switchboard. We got a caller in the queue.
Oh, let me just go there. Oh, we do. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and hit this button right there and bring in. Oh, man, he's been holding on for 7 minutes. I'm kidding.
Just a good old boy.
It's the good old
never
boy.
Never mean it no harm.
Right down there in Georgia. How you doing, big
be
Brian Tarvin?
You never saw a bit of trouble
me.
With the law.
Doing good, my friend. I thought that song was that long.
Yeah, it said 7:07. So, you're holding on good.
No, I thought this song that you played was outlawed. I thought it wasn't politically correct to play it, sing it, talk about it anymore.
I like the song,
and
it's my show.
Got them in the job, Tarvin. I'll fix everything.
Listen. Exactly. We're not bound by any pressure from any sponsors to say you really shouldn't play that song. That's why I love Blog Talk Radio. So there we go. I like the song. I don't even think about that in reality. So there you go. That being said, hey, this guy's got some talent. I mean, they picked it. I mean, Rex Ryan. You can say what you want. He left the Jets in a mess, but he. I think he knows talent a little bit in reality. So he picks him up there, Tarvin. Big story, Geno Smith getting cold cocked. Kind of funny.
Hey, you see that, and it's funny. You see Cam Newton getting in a fight with a teammate. What is it with these quarterbacks, man? Are they, you know? First of all,
that's Brian too, Sonny.
First of all, was Geno Smith in a bar? I don't know the whole story. Was Geno Smith in a bar and got sucker punched?
What, the Geno Smith or Cam Newton?
Yeah, was Geno in a bar? I don't know the entire story.
No, it was in the locker room.
Oh, okay.
He must have been asleep at the wheel. You probably didn't hear the story very well. You must have been working, my friend.
I was, actually. But that was bad. But he gets hit in the locker room by a guy. Cam Newton gets in a fight. I mean, you know, how do you hit your quarterback?
Well, there's certain things. Listen, there's certain things quarterbacks should not do. Okay, all right. There's just certain things that you don't do as an NFL quarterback, and one of them is fight. Okay, because especially your habit is to hit with your dominant hand, which is your throwing hand, and you don't. It's just like in Bull Durham when he gets into a fight, he says, "Man, I'm glad you hit me with your right hand because you're left-handed. You don't hit a drunk with your throwing hand." So. Same thing with the
exactly.
NFL. I mean, you smash up your hand. I mean, but, you know, it's really interesting. We see the stories, you know, in training camp. You know, you see the fights, but you can see what that is. That's heat of the moment right there, and literally heat, because it's hot as hell at every one of these training camps right now. So you got heat of the moment, heat of anger, and really the fact of the matter is when things like that happen out on the football field, it's not going into the locker room. It's pretty much, you know, they duke it out there for a minute or two, and then it's done. I mean, that is the epitome of kids when they get into fights with their buddies, and then their buddies right after the fight. You know, that's the epitome. That's what it is in reality. But for it to go into the locker room, and this wasn't even an on-the-field issue, these guys, listen, you don't cold cock somebody unless you don't like them. And I don't think that's a spur-of-the-moment thing. That's something that's got to brew for some time. And Cuervo said it best. You know, that time could have been a day or two, but not enough to cold cock someone. I think this is something that he owed him this money for more than just a day or two. Geno Smith probably told him about 3 or 4 weeks ago he'd get him the $600, and he hadn't done it yet.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even know it was over that. I didn't even know it was over money.
That's a Cuervo. You know, over six. I mean, I think you're right. I think, you know, the time is relative, and I think this is not a story that just happened last week. This is something that developed over time, and he finally got tired of it, and he probably didn't like the fact, and they say it all the time, Cuervo, he didn't like being disrespected. And I think that's what we got right here as far as that situation is concerned.
I mean, you could be right, Sonny, because, I mean, think about it. You know, sometimes guys let their job, you know, they let the ego get to them because of who they are and what they represent. And, you know, him be like, well, I'm a starting quarterback, and, you know, I'll just pay you when I feel like paying you. Now, bitch, boom. And then he got jacked in the jaw.
So, I mean, it shows you they don't give a damn and look at him as a leader of a team or the quarterback because
thank you, Tarvin. I'm not the only one.
Yeah, he's not the leader. He's not the quarterback. Whether they kill him or break his damn jaw and make him miss 6 weeks, they don't give a shit. I mean, somebody else is probably better behind him.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, backup quarterback, going to be the starter for the Jets. Cuervo, they don't have a snowball chance in hell in that division. The Bills are better, and, you know, I think Miami takes a step back, but Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Dolphins, that's a win for the Dolphins.
Yeah, it does. I think that was the next thing I wanted to talk about, too, was, you know, what's the level of respect for Geno? And like I said, if that guy was going to do it, there might be somebody else that was thinking it, you know, and beat him to the punch. Literally, beat him to the punch.
Literally.
So,
we got the love
jaw dropping
literally
and,
today.
Jaw dropping and beating him to the punch.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, we're talking about these fights. I mean, you know, we didn't mention the Dez Bryant fight with down in Cowboys camp. And then on, I think it was on Saturday, it was the Texans and the Redskins. They were doing a scrimmage. They got into a damn fight. I don't know what it is. Yeah, well, you mentioned the Cam Newton one, but I'm saying,
like, though? I mean, this is not anything new, really, is it?
Well, not this. I mean, we may hear about one or two fights, Sonny, but there's been like five of them already.
But we've only got to the
Hall of Fame game.
But never with the quarterback and an own teammate, though. I mean, that's what's weird. The quarterbacks are untouchable. You know, a defensive lineman, offensive lineman getting a five, but when you have the quarterback getting knocked out, there's some problems going on.
He must not have wore his red shirt into the locker room. I think that's what happened. It was a little temporary insanity from the guy who hit him. And, you know, I think that's where it ended up happening. He didn't have his
Cam,
red shirt on, Coach.
Cam wore a Muhammad Ali shirt to practice the day after getting in the fight with that other guy. He told that guy. He's like, bitch, I'll kill you, man. You know,
I think that's great. That's a crack up. You got to love where those kind of things are coming from in reality when you think about it. It's really – but it's going to be – these are going to be stories. I mean, go ahead.
Sonny, you should have heard – I don't know if you guys watched the NFL Network, but last night, good old Lance Briggs, who I'm very familiar with, was a guest on the show.
Wow.
So, of course, what did they ask him? Hey, Lance, were there any quarterbacks that you thought about popping in the draft? He's like, yeah, there was. And then they started reading
the
list down.
How many quarterbacks did he have?
Well, considering it's the Bears, Sonny, and it was the early 2000s, so it was about 84 quarterbacks. When he got to Jay Cutler's name, he did not hesitate. And he was like, yeah, there were a couple times where I wanted to. And I was like, wow. Yeah. And I was, it's funny because it's like, you know, I can only imagine how many Bears fans are like, yeah, we can
understand that one.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. You know, Lance Briggs, he wanted to hit Rex Grossman. He wanted to hit, everybody. The only two he didn't want to hit, that he said he didn't want to hit, were Kyle Orton and I think it was, what was the name of the guy that came in to back up Cutler when he sat out in that championship game? Caleb Haney. Those are the only two. Those are the only two he didn't want to hit.
I don't think you want to mess with Kyle Orton. I think that dude's like a rock. So I understand why they don't want to mess with Kyle Orton. So that makes sense. So some interesting stuff going on. We're here on the Couch Potato Sports Show on a Wednesday afternoon and / evening, depending on where you're at and depending on where you're listening from. So we're covering most of the country over in the West Coast. We got Cuervo, me in the Central. Over in the East, we got Tarvin. Let's head on to the next thing because I found it interesting. You can say what you want, but talent, they'll take the talent. We're talking about, and this is where, after last year, the Browns did a lot of good things. They are taking a left-hand turn as far, let's just put it this way, as far as in a media a public relations disaster is about ready to happen in Cleveland because they're thinking about getting the, Ray Rice up on board. And I haven't heard any more of that since I listened to about 5 minutes of sports talk today. I turned the channel. I was like, oh, my God, are we serious? Ray Rice is actually going to probably play somewhere this year. My question is that, I mean, I saw this guy the year before he didn't play last year. And this guy wasn't great. I'm actually surprised the Dallas Cowboys aren't going after him because they are in quarterback hell right now or running back hell here in Dallas. So I'm surprised they haven't mentioned bringing him in there. Maybe the video was just too much. I mean, Rice, the NFL, is he going to play? Are the Browns doing the right thing here, Cuervo? Let me get your take on that.
Well, I don't know about the right thing, but what do the Browns have to lose? And I'm being serious when I ask that question.
Yep, exactly.
What do they really have to lose by bringing a guy like Ray Rice in? You know, who's a starting running back if they don't have him? I don't even know. Who is their starting running back? I have no idea. First of all, he'd have an opportunity at being back in the division he was, in before. So
right,
he'll and I don't know if he's got revenge on his mind with the Baltimore Ravens. But he hates the Steelers, and so he's going to play hard at least those two games.
Yeah.
Right? Probably doesn't care for the Bengals very much. So he'll play pretty hard those two games. So, and on top of that, I kind of like Cleveland's offensive line. They've got some good guys on the offensive line. And so they'll create some, you know, running space for him. I mean, hell, the rookie last year, I think he had 1,000 yards before their starter went down. So I think, you know, with the offensive line pieces that they have, with Joe Thomas and they bring back Alex Mack, the center, they have a good offensive line. So, you know, he would produce. I mean, it's not like he's going to, you know, a team with no offensive line. He'll have guys that'll block for him. So, but for Cleveland,
well, that's
going
to be interesting to see where he ends up going, though. You know, if it's not the Browns, I mean, what are the other teams that are out there that are really seriously thinking about maybe grabbing up Ray Rice right now?
Well, I know. A couple months ago, there were the team that was rumored was the Detroit Lions. Now, as long as they don't throw 800 times a year, then they might have some use for him. But that's if they can't get over the fact that, you know, they have a guy in Matthew Stafford and they can actually run the ball. They don't have to throw 50 times a game. So they have to get over the fact that they need to be more balanced. But I think that's a possibility. Let's see, Indianapolis just picked up Frank Gore, but you don't know how durable he's going to be. You don't know how much he's going to bring to the table. So
that guy's going to be on a cart after the preseason game.
So, yeah, but I don't think the Colts are going to sign him. So, hell, I mean, I don't know. I could see him taking some runs in Carolina with Jonathan Stewart. I mean, they got rid of D'Angelo Williams. I don't know what Tarvin thinks about that, him going to the Panthers.
No, that's Cameron Artis Payne, baby. Cameron Artis Payne is the one that's be running back for the Panthers.
Yeah, I never heard of him. He probably went to Auburn.
Me either.
I don't know.
So you need a good running back. Everybody needs a couple. I mean, Payne's unproven. So, yeah, that'd be a good one to try to take a shot on right now.
I think so. Yeah, you know, the running back position this year, man, oh, man. Every team is running by committee. We only got about five really one guy standouts in the backfield for any football team this year. So they have to depend on that two game. They have to depend on, you know, two guys or sometimes even three to get the job done. Now, you look at Dallas. Dallas in a lot of trouble. I mean, I don't even know who these guys are. I never even heard of the guys that they're going. I was just kind of hoping they'd go to an IFL guy that I know, obviously, Darius Fudge, maybe give him a shot. My goodness. But I will tell you, the running back position in the NFL is becoming – you have got to be able to be durable. And, sorry, running backs, they get some crazy hits on them coming from those defensive linemen. You know, the running backs, they take some hits, but, man, that's if they're going over the middle. If they're not going to take any really crazy hits on the sideline. I mean, there'll be some hits, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, you're talking about a position that has been beat up over the last 6 years because I don't know if you remember it, Cuervo, but about 6 years ago when you're talking fantasy football, you were talking about you want a running back with your first pick. And, I mean, not to get on fantasy sports, I mean, now, running backs, man, you're taking in the second and third rounds. You're not wasting too many picks up on running backs in fantasy football. That tells you you can look at the value of a position by looking at fantasy football in reality.
Well, yeah, and especially now, I think if you have a top five pick in your league, you can still draft a running back because after the first, you know, the first five guys that you'll see on boards, after that, I mean, the rest of the guys are not worth the first-round pick. So let's say you're in a 10-team league and you got the eighth pick. I think going after a guy like Antonio Brown of the Steelers would make a lot more sense, and then you flip into the second round and then get a running back. You know, I think it would work out better for you. But if you have a top-five pick, then, you know, you would be dumb to not take Eddie Lacy or Jamaal Charles or Marshawn Lynch or whoever is, you know, still available in the top five. So, but anything beyond that, yeah, Sonny, I think you would be reaching for a running back. You can go get you a number one receiver or whatever the case may be, and then come back and get you that running back that you want.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to finish. Go ahead, Carvin.
I have a question for y'all. Tell me, I have a five-person keeper league, and I need some help. I have Tom Brady. I have Bridgewater. I have Cam Newton as my quarterbacks, and those three. I have Adrian Peterson, Eddie Lacy, and Julio Jones. Who do I need to cut, do you think? Do I keep Brady? I mean, four-game suspension, he's almost 40. Do I try to just keep Bridgewater or draft Bridgewater again when the draft comes? I don't know who to cut. Is Julio Jones worth a keeper spot, and is AP still worth a keeper spot?
Well, I think you might even get and not to really bash you, but, you know, Cam Newton, out of those, I mean, you're going to look at Tom Brady. That guy's going to throw the football. I mean, and I know you don't want to get rid of Cam, and I'm not trying to bust you upside the head here. But really, you think about it, Julio Jones is going to be a superstar this year. AP and Lacy, you have trade bait. I wouldn't get rid of your running back. Someone's going to offer you a trade. So I wouldn't get rid of your running backs at all. I would probably keep all of them because someone's going to see you got three quality quarterbacks. You might be able to get some trade bait and something that you might need. I don't know, Cuervo.
And I have Bortles, too, at quarterback. So I got two
dump
young
him.
Ones, Cam and Brady. Yeah, I wasn't.
Dump
I didn't
Bortles.
Even mention it.
Yeah. Cuervo.
Well, if you're talking about – So your options are to get rid of either Cam Newton, Tom Brady, or Teddy Bridgewater, right? And then
I have five keepers, and I'm keeping Peterson, Lacy, Julio Jones, which leaves me two more keepers. It's going to be Cam, Tom Brady, or Bridgewater. Which one out of those three quarterbacks should I cut?
Oh, yeah, you get rid of Teddy B. Teddy B's gone because – I mean, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, the potential that he has, but that's just what it is, potential. Potential can go either – it can go either way. It can either, you know, really pay off or it can really, you know, bite you in the ass. So
yeah, I think Cam's ready for a big year, man. I really do.
Well, and I really like the way him and Benjamin connected together in their first year, so – as long as Benjamin doesn't fall into that whole sophomore slump thing, then I think their numbers could be even better this year. So with that being said, yeah, I think you keep Cam. That's your starter, okay? Think of Brady. If I were you, I would think of Brady as my backup.
Well, it's a two-quarterback league, remember. It's two quarterbacks,
so,
two running backs, two receivers, a tight end, and that kind of league. So I have to start two.
So you got to start both of them. Now
that's a very interesting thing.
Yeah, I can draft
that's
Bridgewater.
And I'm going to tell you the reason why that's very interesting. The big cute. Let's do this. Let's talk about it because we're talking about this crazy. He goes in front of a judge. The judge is going, "Why are you guys in front of me about this?" And the judge is right. I don't think Tom Brady is going to get a game, and if he does, I don't think it's going to amount to anything, and you're still going to have a draft, and you can pick up another quarterback, or if you want to keep Bortles, you're more than welcome to, or pick him up later. But the fact of the matter is, what's going on as far as Tom Brady is concerned, this guy, they already said by the time they figure it out, if they go this route, it's going to be a couple years. Tom Brady's playing football. Now, like I said, I think it's the biggest mistake. Go ahead and get done with it, get four games out of the way, and be the freshest quarterback in the NFL in week number four. And you miss the Dallas game. That's a big game to miss if you take four. But still, you know, if he misses four, they win two without him. Watch out. The Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. The Fleet game, and I like the analogy that Cuervo said the last time they won, they were cheating, you know, and then they win last year. I get that, but right now, you know, you look at what the Patriots do year in, year out. I don't know what's going on, but they've got it going on. They know how to replace the right players when they have to do it. That's why I think you got to change the name to the Lombardi Cup to the Belichick Cup. I'm sorry, this guy's just able to get the job done at the head coaching position. He is amazing. And I think the Patriots are going to win. I think the Patriots are definitely in the Super Bowl. The other teams are going to have to step up. If Indianapolis is going to – Andrew Luck better start playing the way he knows how to play or his capabilities are. Because right now when I look at the AFC, okay, I don't see too many people putting up too much pressure up on the Patriots, except maybe the Colts. And if the Baltimore Ravens can get their heads out of their ass for more than 5 minutes to play consistent football, I think those are the only two teams that are really a threat to the Patriots in reality.
Yeah, or the Broncos, maybe. But I think this is the Packers' year. Y'all tell me what you think. I think Packers and Patriots in the Super Bowl, and it's going to be a great one.
That's what I hoped for last year, Cuervo.
I would never hope for the Packers to be in the Super Bowl, but the reality of it.
NFC North fan.
Just I'm a Packer hater, but.
Yeah, that's it.
But, Sonny, you know me. You know me, and I hate to bite my tongue, but, hey. Green Bay, I think, is the best team in the NFC now with the changes that happened in Seattle. It's the Packers' turn again. It's their time again.
It's interesting. I mean, I look at what's going on. It's hard to I ate so much crow about the Seahawks last year. They're just a damn good football team. I hate them. They remind me of the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s. They're so damn good. And I think the Seattle Seahawks, when you look at that football team and you check out what's going on, this is a football team that knows their team's limitations. They know the players' limitations. I mean, you don't see – let's be honest. Now the quarterback got paid some bucks. Okay, Russell Wilson got some money here, but really they play to his strengths. You don't see Russell Wilson go deep too much, and mainly because they really didn't have much of a deep threat. Let's just be honest. That having been said, I mean Percy Harvin was really kind of only their deep threat, but they play to the player's strengths. And when you do that on a consistent level, it just reminds me of the Patriots. But you're right. What Green Bay is doing here in the offseason, I think it puts them kind of in the driver's seat right now in the NFC. Because I look at Seattle, I think they may have taken the step back, but watch them prove me wrong again because I don't like them that much. But I think it might be prime for Aaron Rodgers to go ahead and take that step and get them into the Super Bowl this year. Cuervo, I'll throw that to you.
Yeah, well, I think another thing too is, and this is going to sound really crazy, but you're going to watch now that, and this is the bad side of Wilson getting his money. You watch his change in production.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
It's not going to be what it was because, as we all know, when guys are in contract years and they want to get that big paycheck, of course they're going to play to the best. They're going to play a contract season. They're going to give you everything they got. I'm telling you, Russell Wilson, he's going to have an average year, and I think the Seahawks are going to fight for a playoff spot. I don't think they're going to win the division.
Every year is average for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, I'm talking like an Eli Manning type season.
Oh God!
That's gonna be bad. I don't think he's gonna have a good year. I really don't think he's gonna have. I think he's gonna throw roughly 25 to 30 TD. Well, 25. He's gonna have about 20 interceptions. It's not because now that he's got Jimmy Graham and they're in the end zone. Okay, before the Seahawks, they didn't know what to do in the red zone. They thought. They didn't know what to do. I mean, obviously, they don't hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch, So
not for running, not for touchdowns. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Now you got Jimmy Graham. Everybody's going to expect Jimmy Graham to get the ball. So if I know it, if you know it, if Tarvin knows it, who else knows it? Every defensive coordinator that is going up against the Seahawks in the red zone.
You would think.
So don't expect Jimmy Graham to do much in the red zone. And you're going to see a lot of turnovers, I think, from Seattle this year in the red zone.
What was Jimmy Graham's contract? I mean, was it bigger? I mean, I know he probably got some – I know he got some money, but I just wonder. I don't know. What was his contract? Does anybody remember off the top of their head?
Ooh. Probably too much.
Yeah, I think it was like four years, $40 million or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah, when you're not – but I'm just wondering. I mean, we're sitting here, if we're knowing it, how you're not getting Marshawn Lynch, and I don't like him either. I think he's an overrated running back. I really do. And because they don't give him that ball in the red zone for a reason, guys, okay? There's something that's going on that they don't give that ball to him. Yes, everybody in the world should have known that Marshawn Lynch was going to get that ball in the end zone, okay? But knowing what the Seahawks did and everything, the simple fact of the matter is that I don't see why they're not giving the ball. There is something that tells people that you don't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch, at least that coaching staff down near that goal line. And I can't imagine what it is. They can't depend on the guy to do the job.
So my question is, why the hell did they re-sign him then? If they don't want him and they're not going to give him the ball where he's most effective, and that's in the red zone, that's in the goal line, why bring him back? Why not let him go somewhere where –
Tarvin, let me ask Tarvin. Tarvin, that would be a media relations disaster. I mean, it's bad enough with
Gordon.
No, come on. Hey, listen, how many jerseys are in the stands out there with Marshawn Lynch's number? Okay, as much as I don't like the guy, as much as I think he's overrated, this guy's a fan favorite. People love Marshawn Lynch.
And Jimmy Graham wasn't in New Orleans, Sonny?
No,
there's
a difference.
Fans?
Jimmy Graham did not produce last year. So
and he needs Drew Brees to produce.
Exactly. I think it would be a media. I think it would be a media relations disaster. Not that he's standing in front of microphones all day, but you know, Marshawn Lynch don't do that. But public relations to the fans. They almost had to sign him if he was going to play. I had no doubt in my mind it was going to be for Seattle, because Seattle cannot let that guy go to another football team. That just can't happen. Because of what he was able to build in. Like I said, I think he's overrated. I think the fact that he got those yards, I think it's a joke. The simple thing is that when you're an NFL football team, you got to put out a perception of winning. And say what you want about Marshawn Lynch, and me even saying he's overrated, the fans love this guy. And I think the fans would go crazy not having Marshawn Lynch, but him on a different football team. I really do.
If that's the case, then, Sonny, if it's about the fact that they did not let him go because he's a fan favorite, okay, I buy it. I'll buy it. Right, he's a fan favorite. He produces a hell of a profit in jersey sales and stuff like that. Now, I'll throw another twist into it. What if part of the reason, too, was because maybe there was a team in the division that was trying to pick him up?
Yep. Hey, and the 49ers would love to have that guy. And granted, I don't know if that was the team that you're thinking of. The Arizona Cardinals can't do anything right now, and I don't know about the Rams and their running back position, but you were talking probably the 49ers, right? I mean, with Gore leaving, were you headed that way?
I actually did have more of the Cardinals on my mind, but San Francisco makes a lot more sense. I mean, it's the Bay Area. It's where he's from. They need a running back. Reggie Bush, he's there. I mean, is he going to really do a whole lot? I don't know. But,
San Francisco probably the better fit, but I actually was leaning more towards Arizona. So I don't know, but I think you're right. I think San Francisco would have signed him before Arizona would have. But, that's the reason why Seattle's like, you're not going anywhere. And you stay right here.
Right.
And you help us make a lot of money, so you're not going anywhere.
And that's going to be the big point. Will he be able to make money? And I think you're right. I think they might have signed him for that. It could have been that reason. It's a lot of things. I mean, Seattle, I don't want to say that they're not going to – I mean, but right now I look at the NFC East. They're shoo-in. They're shoo-in to win that division unless something goes crazy with St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis is going to have to go out of nowhere because I think the coach, just the coach in general in San Francisco, makes them not a playoff football team. I'm sorry. I mean, they made a huge mistake by signing the guy, but they signed the yes guy. They signed the yes man that put them in this position, at least where I think they are. I don't think they're going to be. And it's going to be really interesting come next year where Colin Kaepernick will going to be. Because I don't think the guy lasts in San Francisco unless they do something big, and I just don't see it happening. So I think Colin Kaepernick is going to be gone next year. But then you got to go to that same question: who else are they going to get to fill that spot? That's going to be a big question for them. I don't know. I mean, it's nuts. But other things that are going on, we're talking about California. I got the California guy on the line. Los Angeles. I don't know. Are they going to get a team? Are they not? Cuervo, this is a big story. San Diego, Oakland, where people went battling it out to try to get that spot in L.A. And, I'm just looking at the NFL going, why are you even worried about L.A.? I mean, you're talking about a market that doesn't want an NFL football team there. Hell, they can't even support an indoor football team, never mind the NFL. You know, so I'm really missing the want for a football team in L.A. I don't know. Fill me in, Cuervo, because you're there. So is there a need or a want in L.A. for an NFL football team? I mean, is it a desire for the fans and the people there, or is USC enough?
No, if it happens, Sonny, it's going to definitely be in a new stadium and totally build a new stadium. But, obviously from a fan standpoint, yeah, of course, they want a team here. You know, people in L.A., a lot of them are either Raiders fans or Chargers fans, some 49er fans, but mostly Raiders in L.A. So,
yeah, mostly Raiders.
Yeah, of course, you know, especially the older crowd, they'd like to see them come back to L.A. But from what I understand, I don't think the Raiders want to move back. And I think your Hall of Fame buddy Tim Brown said that himself, that they don't want to go back to L.A. They want to stay in Oakland. So, you know, the next option, I guess, would be the Chargers. And
I don't think the Chargers want to go either. I mean, you lived in San Diego. The fans don't want them to go. I think that's a management move if they do that, right?
Yeah, well, it would be a management move. But, you know, I'll say this. I'm not going to say that they have a hard time bringing a crowd to the games, because when you watch, I mean, obviously there's people there, but I don't think they sell out though either. So
no, they don't. The top part of that bowl is usually open. When you watch those games in the afternoon that they play in San Diego, you see an open top of that stadium. It's usually, you can get a seat if you want to go to the Charger game if you want.
Yeah. Now, if you pick up that stadium and you fly it over to L.A., there's not an empty seat in that stadium. So, and I think that's the way. Yeah, I really do. I really do. Because in L.A., I mean, obviously you got the bigger crowd. So,
you're right.
Fans.
They'd have to build a different stadium, because if you want the stars, if you want the celebs, if you want the you can't just have a football. You got to have skyboxes. You got to have the thing that attracts those kind of people. And just an old football field isn't going to do the job in L.A. I think you're right.
Well, you should.
If they're going to do it, they're going to have to build it from scratch and make it plush, baby, plush.
I mean, you should see the some of the designs that they have, and they showed them on the news one a couple days ago. It doesn't even look like a football stadium. It looks like a huge, like a almost like a beach resort or something, Sonny, with with just a random stadium just placed right next to it. So it's really exotic, like the way it looked. And of course, it's not real or whatever, but it's just like a proposed idea. But it's like, I mean, you're talking, lounge chairs, outdoor pools and people, pool parties. And it's like, it just doesn't, I don't know, to me, it doesn't fit with a football stadium. It just looks really weird. And it just, I don't know that LA has the right idea for the design of a stadium, but that doesn't, it's not going to stop them from doing it. It's just really weird how they have it set up. But, but you're right. I mean, the next issue is the location of it. I mean, there's different cities that they've been talking about, and they just can't come to an agreement to which town they would put the stadium in, because it's not going to be in the city of LA. It's not going to be in downtown. It's way too congested.
It's going to be LA County.
It would be somewhere out, in the county. It'd be in LA County, but it would have to be like in one of the smaller towns just outside of the city, outside of the boundaries of the city limits. So,
right.
You know, then the question becomes, are people are going to be willing to drive to the game? So, There's a lot of issues, I guess you'd say, unanswered questions.
Let me just hop in because I don't want to lose Tarvin. I want to get his opinion. I mean, if you bring in LA to the NFL, okay, and it's not an expansion team, I think this is the mistake. I think the reason why it has to be Oakland or San Diego, or I've even heard rumblings about St. Louis heading there. I don't think the NFL needs to be unbalanced. I don't. You only bring in one team or two teams. I don't know. I think if you're gonna go expansion, I think you got to bring in four teams and keep it equal for that many teams in each division. I don't know, Tarvin. I think one team, if they're going expansion to LA, they got to bring in three others.
Yeah, but I mean, my question is, why didn't they work in LA before? Isn't this like the third try? I mean,
third try.
But I mean, there's a reason why it keeps failing, guys. Why do you want to keep that? The people in Los Angeles, they really don't. They don't have a passion for football. They can go to the Southern Cal game, like you said, Sonny. But I just don't think they love football. Like, you go to Pittsburgh, shit, they love football. You go to Philadelphia, they love football. And I can't even say that in Georgia. They don't even like pro football, really. But I just don't think it's just not attractive. It's failed so many times. I mean, what's different now? Why would it succeed now? That's what I'm asking. It has to be the stadium.
It has to be the stadium, because, like I said, if you're going to bring the George Clooney's out there or whoever you want to bring out in Hollywood, okay, you got to make it attractive enough for them. Now, you look at the L.A. Rams, you look at the L.A. The L.A. Raiders. Listen, that place is a dump. Okay, that's the reason why it didn't work for the celebs. But the question will be is, will they be able to draw the celebs? And the only way that they're going to do it is they're going to have to make it a Dallas Cowboys stadium. If you've ever been in Cowboys Stadium, I'm going to tell you, I've been in many stadiums. I hate to say it because I hate Jerry Jones. It's the nicest stadium in the country when it comes to football. But they know how to take care of the celebs. And that's what they would have to do in LA.
But is it a football stadium? You know, when I think of football stadiums, I think of rough and tough home field advantage. I mean,
sure.
And I've heard Colin Cowherd talk about this. Like, you remember last year, guys, when he was playing the first game the Cowboys played and the road team had more fans there? It's like,
yes,
it's like, I don't want it to be so nice that people love to come to opposing teams. I mean, that's where I think you can screw up sometimes. I mean, it has to be a home field advantage. That's not a home field advantage for Dallas. I mean, football is about football. It's not going to the strip club waiting on a game to start. And,
yeah.
I mean, to me, that's football. I go to a football game to watch football, and I don't give a damn about anything else. And I think those are the fans you need. And I just don't think L.A. had.
Do they have them, Cuervo? Do they have the diehards that would it sounds to me that Cuervo seems to think that they do have that kind of fan base. I mean, does it have to be a Jerry Jones type of stadium to get them there, Cuervo, or can it be just a football stadium?
I think it would be better to have just a regular stadium because of the fact that even though this is, you know, celebrity country over here on the west side,
right,
it would just be more affordable for the, you know, for the local populace, you know what I mean, instead
right.
of making it more about let's make it all fancy for the celebrities, you know, it should be more about the 9-to-5 workers, you know, the guys that want to appreciate the game more than people that go there for business meetings or to, you know, like Tarvin said, you get a lap dance while you're watching the game or something like that.
Right.
And it's you know, I think you just draw a better crowd when you have guys that are actual football fans, not treating it as a business trip or something like that. And, you know, those guys can go to a fancy, I don't know, resort or something and watch it or whatever the case may be. So, and when you think about it, when you're watching a football game, how often do they acknowledge celebrities being at games? It doesn't really happen very often. You know, if there's a celebrity at the game, hey, you don't know about it until afterwards or whatever.
I don't know who in the hell's at a football game when I go. I go 3 hours, 4 hours before. I'm in there eating food and drinking my drink, getting ready for some damn football. I don't give a shit who's there. But I do notice some beautiful women when they walk by, though. I will tell you that.
And they could be celebs. Well, I mean, look at what Miami did at one point. I don't know if you guys remember Gloria Estefan, a couple of other, you know, names that were, you know, part of the Miami, I call it, you know, a gimmick to bring in people, you know, Gloria Estefan, a couple other guys, a couple other celebrities were owners of that. And I don't know if they still are now or whatever, but they definitely got away from the celebrity, you know, being in the stand or being part of the team kind of thing going on in Miami. I don't know if that went very well or if they just, you know, bailed up on the idea. But, you know, we're talking about South Beach. I mean, so you got you got some celebs down there that would end up showing up. So, you know, but I'm with Tarvin. If I'm going to go, which I you know, I just don't go to the NFL football games. I don't want to be around 50, 60,000 or even in Dallas's case, 90,000 people, you know, to see a football game. I just don't want it. I like the comfort of my indoor football team where you got a max of 10,000 people in the stands, you know. So I like the comfort of that. But, you know, I'm not like everybody else. And I think you're right. I think I agree with Tarvin. I think you got to have a passion for the game. And the question will be, will the celebrities come? I just don't know. I just look at everybody seeing the click of what's going on. And will that be enough to draw? I mean, I don't think the Lakers – see, and that's the thing. I don't think the Lakers depend upon the celebrities to draw people, but they surely let you know they're in the stands, right? That's L.A. I mean, you go to an L.A. Laker game, they'll show you the famous people who are, you know, in attendance there, but they just don't do that at football games unless, you know – I mean, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, they go to Jerry Jones's box a lot, but – I don't know. I mean,
yeah, for like the high profile owners. Yeah. I mean, you know, like Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft, who, you know, obviously is the Patriots owner. Like those two guys, they show a couple times during the game, but you know, when it's game seven of the regular season and we're watching Red Zone, I mean, how many celebrities do we see on the, you know, do they show
you don't on Red
they
Zone?
Don't show any of them.
And you know what, guys? You know what? Los Angeles, how many people there? And I've heard this before. Nobody from L.A. is from L.A. So you see, like, Ben Affleck, he's, what, a Boston Red Sox fan. He doesn't give a damn about any Los Angeles team. Most people from Los Angeles are from other places and support football teams out east, back home, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't give a damn about the Raiders or all these other teams. I mean, you know, I mean, honestly, think about it. Name all the celebrities you can think of. Most of them support teams back in the east, right? I mean, up in the
usually,
east.
Usually, you're
like
right. Good point. Good point, you know, unless they're on the bandwagon, you know, they're Seattle Seahawks fans or whatever, the bandwagon teams, you know. So I think you may be right on that as far as that's concerned. Now, I have to bail in 10 minutes, so I wanted to get I want to get everybody's opinion before we're out. With 10 minutes left to go, Robert Kraft and the NFL, is the love affair over? I really, you know, Robert Kraft, I've never heard him talk as much as I've been hearing him talk as of late. We briefly touched on this on our last show a couple weeks ago. But I cannot believe the fact that we have Robert Kraft right now. If you took a poll, you know, and I heard this, and I wish I didn't have to get out of the car because I wanted to hear the rest of it. But, you know, Roger Goodell, you know, he actually got booed going into the courtroom today, okay? But
wow.
More than the fact, yeah, that tells you where the fans are. But, folks, we also got to remember that he's not employed by the fans, okay? He can give a damn about the fans. So that being said, you know, Roger Goodell, you know, do you think the ownership is happy with him? And if they are, will Robert Kraft be able to change their mind? And do you think Robert Kraft really is not a supporter of the vice principal, you know, Roger Goodell? I'll shoot it over to Tarvin. You know, Tarvin, what do you think?
I think the owners love him. I think it keeps the eye off them. He's the bad guy. He doesn't care. He's making so much money.
$42 million.
You know what? I mean, Goodell has to be, even though he's friends with Kraft, he has to be a hard ass, because if he doesn't punish Brady and Kraft, they're already talking about they had dinner together, you know, and doing all this and hanging out. This is more of a punishment. It's like, Kraft, we're friends. I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to lay the hammer down a little bit. I'm sorry. It's just like that. The owners love it that people hate Goodell. If they're cheering him, it means that everybody's eyes on the owner.
Great point, Cuervo.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that, you know, just kind of touching on what Tarvin said, what it does too is it kind of, and it may be too late, but maybe this is Goodell's opportunity to, for, you know, to show him that people need to start taking him a little more serious as far as the decisions that he's making. And again, it may be too late. There's so much that has already happened just in the past year alone, let alone the, 10 years that he's been the commissioner already. So
right, yeah.
This could be the chance for him to send a message to the other 29, the other 31 owners, be like, look, I'm not messing around no more. I've tried to give you guys as much slack as I could as a commissioner. I understand I work for you guys, you know, and like you said, his job is to be the vice principal because you have 32 principals that run the NFL.
Yep.
But,
right,
you know, I mean, maybe this is his opportunity to say, look, I can't hand you guys any more freebies, no more, you know, no more hookups. Maybe it's time to be serious. It's time to like you said, like Tarvin said, I got to lay the hammer down. I can't play favorites. I can't be, you know, the nice, no more Mr. Nice Guy, you know, just like the song. You just can't do it no more. It seems to me that it's almost like the league is taking advantage of the fact that he gets along with owners so much that these guys just wild out and they're like, oh, the owner will take care of it. He's such good friends with the commissioner. Nothing's going to happen to me. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's what they think. I don't know what they think, but, you know, it is obviously there's no accountability when it comes to the players. And then, hey, Mr. Kraft, what are you going to do about it? You know, and this is Goodell asking him, how do you want to handle this? Hey, just let me handle it. Don't worry about it, Roger. Just turn the other way. Just turn the other cheek. Don't worry about it. And as a commissioner, it's like you can only do that so much.
Right. But I guess I got the question that I got to ask. Every team pretty much pays Roger Goodell $1.4 million. That's their investment in the commissioner. You make $42 million. You only got 36 teams. It's 1.4 or 1.3 something, okay? I think they're getting – really, to be – if you think about it, that's a bargain because you're right. He takes all the heat. And, folks, you say what you want about publicity, but it don't matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent as long as they're talking about you. And guess what? Roger Goodell, that guy's in the news all the time. The focus is on the NFL. Whether it's Roger Goodell, you know, being blasted for one week, they're still talking about the NFL. And I'll tell you, as soon as they stop talking about the NFL, that's when Roger Goodell's job's in jeopardy. It don't matter what they're talking about as long as you're talking about them. And I think that's what – I mean, even Robert Kraft, he probably doesn't want to pay the $1.3 million. But it really, in reality, if you got one guy and you can pay $1.3 million to take all the heat for you, that's what's going on here. And – You know, never mind. They obviously pay more because they got the NFL staff. But when you got one guy making $42 million, that means each team is giving up 1.3. I think that's an incredible bargain for someone to take the heat in the NFL, and especially with everything that's going on and the negativity that's going on that route. So it's a big deal. And I think, and as much as I'm about ready to sound crazy when I say this, I think they're getting a steal. They're getting the steal because Roger Goodell has – let's be honest. The only reason why they're still talking about Deflategate is because Roger Goodell hasn't made a decision yet. I mean, it's perfect. You're still talking about it. It's not going to go away until they make a decision on it. Until it goes away, they're going to talk about it. So you talk whatever you want, but this guy keeps people talking about the NFL on a daily basis. There hasn't been a day where you're not seeing NFL news coming out of somewhere, whether it's Roger Goodell or at least someone talking about an NFL football team. And good, bad, or indifferent, they want to be in the news every day with at least a new headline, right?
Yeah,
man. I can't argue against that, and you said it pretty well, Sonny. I mean, a guy taking the heat. I mean, who has mentioned, you know, everybody wants to say, oh, Goodell's out of control. Oh, the NFL's out of control because of Goodell. Well, hold on a second. What about the owners of these teams? They should be looking at their front office and say, look, what kind of characters are you bringing to my football team to play,
exactly,
you know, for my team? What am I paying you guys to do here? Hire, you know, draft a bunch of criminals, sign a bunch of criminals, sign a bunch of, you know, wife beaters and child beaters and drug dealers and everything else that you can think of. You know, guys, you know, jawjacking the starting quarterback. Like, what kind of guys you bringing on my team? If you keep hiring this garbage, well, guess what? I'm going to find somebody else to do it. So,
yep.
You know, as much as Goodell, and that's why I kind of – And you know, I've before, Sonny, I've kind of defended Goodell on this because it's easy to point the finger at him because he's the commissioner. He's the face of the NFL, I guess you can say. But you know, and the owners are just sitting back smoking cigars like, oh, man, sucks to be Goodell, doesn't it, guys? You know, and they're all like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's really what I think happens. You know, as they sit back and they sit in their, you know, $20 million houses, and I'm just like, man, $1.3 million just for this guy to take all the heat from the media and get interviewed by every major news station. And, you know, he's sitting there sweating, you know, probably underneath his suit. And we're just going to sit back and drink, you know, margaritas and watch him sweat.
Without question. They're getting a bargain. They're getting a huge bargain, and I don't think they could afford him not to be the commissioner. So I don't know how many people take the heat that he has, so we'll find out. Well, that's going to do it for us, Cuervo. Good to have you up online. We're going to try to do this more often. I was just too tired last week. It wasn't happening. But we're going to be trying to do this. We got to get our NFL schedule going soon, too. So
take it easy, Tony.
We'll be talking about that. Go ahead. We just lost him. So everybody have a good one. I'm Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. We're gonna get on out of here, folks. Don't forget, Rowlett Eagles High School football starting up on the 27th of August. We're gonna go through basketball season. Then before you know, we're right back into indoor football, my favorite sport. We're out of here, everybody. Have a good one. Talk to you soon.